This is Jock of the Rock, sports talk radio for Kodiak, covering the hottest issues in athletics on the island and around the planet. And now, your hosts.
I guess that's you and me, Derek. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Man, we have a room full of people in here.
Yeah.
Hasn't been like this since when?
Ever?
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, a long time. But it's kind of a cool deal because it's a new program at the high school, right? Why don't you say a little bit about it?
Brand new program. Kodiak High School is starting a started the past couple years. It's been a club, but this year it's a sanctioned sport, soccer. And we brought in the boys and girls program, some members from each, to come in and kind of just tell us how this started, how it got about, and kind of the expectations for the season. Go ahead and introduce yourself. There's a whole bunch of you, so we'll start with Gunner.
I'm Gunner. I am a senior, and I am the co-captain of the soccer team.
All right. Why don't you guys go ahead and move closer. It's not going to hurt you.
My name's Jose. I'm a junior in the Kodiak High School. The co-captain with Gunner.
Kate Corot, girls soccer coach.
Beatrice Racinos Pineda, girls player.
And I'm Eric Waltenbaugh. I'm the coach of the boys team.
Wow, excellent, excellent. So it was a club sport, which means you guys didn't necessarily play other schools, right? But now you do. Is that what it means now? It's a sanctioned sport?
We actually did play other teams the last 2 years. We just weren't sanctioned by ASA, so we didn't have the opportunity to participate in any region tournament or the state tournament. So we raised money and traveled over to the peninsula the last 2 years to play three or four games with various squads. And this year we get to participate in the league.
Oh, that's awesome. What's the season? I guess it's going on now, but what's the length of the season and when's the tournaments?
It runs through May, so we start, with all the other spring sports early March, and region tournaments towards the end of May, and then the state tournaments the last weekend in May. So.
Yeah, Kodiak will be playing in the Northern Lights Conference, correct?
Yep, Northern Lights South.
They'll split it into two. There's a North and a South division. Kodiak's playing in the South, and it kind of fit in very nicely because Skyview was in the South, now no longer a school, so Kodiak just slides in there.
Right.
And Kodiak will be playing first conference matches or first ever home matches this upcoming Friday at Joe Floyd Track and Field against, Nikiski?
Kenai.
Yep. Kenai.
Wow, awesome. Yeah. Boys or girls?
Both.
Yep. Really? Wow. So it's a doubleheader.
It's a doubleheader, and we get to play Friday night and Saturday, so we get two games each.
Wow. Now, is this the same rules as we see on TV? Is it two 45-minute halves and nonstop and extra injury time and all that?
Yep. It's 45-minute halves. Clock runs the whole time. That's how it goes.
And I was talking to Kate about that when I went to interview him at practice because it's the only high school sport that has the same regulation time as professional sports. Because baseball, you play 7 innings in high school, you got 9 innings in pros. Basketball, you got 8-minute quarters compared to 12-minute quarters.
Right.
Football, same thing, 12-minute quarters, 15 minutes. So this is the only sport that it's the actual length of a pro game.
Oh.
And these kids have to be endurance-wise. Do you guys do a lot of running in practice? I mean...
yeah. We do a lot of running.
Man. Are you guys in cross-country? I mean, because it sounds like perfect for cross-country runners in the fall, to play soccer in the spring.
No? No, I swim in the fall.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Don't be shy of the microphone, really.
No, I just try to stay in shape.
I gotta say, you're dressed like every soccer player I've ever seen on TV, with the hat, whole nine yards.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can only do so much when you got a little bit of a pedal.
Oh man. Okay, so what is the budget for vuvuzelas, or do the fans bring those themselves? The horns that they had during the World Cup in Africa.
I thought they were banned after the South African World Cup.
I heard them in Brazil last
year.
Yeah. But I don't know if they banned them or not.
Well, what we're doing for our first home matches is we have the drummers coming to play during our game to bring a little festive atmosphere to it. So
awesome. Awesome. Do you guys, the youngsters here, are you guys fans of, you know, like MLS or, you know, in England, what are they, Premier League? Or, you know, in Europe, the Premier League or anything like that? Do you guys watch the World Cup when it's on the TV?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
I'm a fan of the Spanish League.
Yeah?
I like the Spanish League. It's the best.
There's so many leagues for soccer, isn't there?
You know,
I'm learning the sport as we go. I really don't know a whole lot about soccer, but it seems like there's this leagues everywhere.
It's taken me years to even begin to comprehend its immensity. And the players move around from league to league.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. In fact, the Seattle Sounders get some Clint Dempsey, right? I mean, he's one of the top players in Europe. Was he one of the top players in Europe?
Yes, he was at one time.
Now he's playing for the Sounders, so.
Yep, for club and country, both.
So you see a lot of that, I guess. Some playing MLS and playing Europe.
Yeah. So what's your guys' favorite team? What's your favorite team?
I'll just watch the game and go whichever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care. I just like watching the games and learning their tactics and probably learning from that.
Yeah. What about you?
I like Barcelona.
Barcelona?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I actually do not watch soccer. I just really enjoy playing.
Oh, okay. That's legit. A lot of folks into it that way.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly soccer players, I noticed. Football players, there's not a football player on earth who doesn't watch football.
Yeah.
But soccer players, that's cool.
Just too many, like, fake injuries, and it just get irritated. So I'm just like, you know, I'm done. Shut up.
What, in football?
No, in soccer.
Oh, in soccer. Okay.
Oh, yeah. All that flopping.
Crazy. Yeah.
Oh.
There's penalties against flopping, right?
There can be.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, only if it's super obvious. So.
Yeah.
They never. What about the coaches? Who you guys follow? Do you follow, you know, larger teams out there?
Well, I'm a big MLS fan, which is a bone of contention with the team because a lot of them are Spanish League fans, so they think MLS is, you know, a cut below. But, you know, it's growing. MLS is really growing. They're expanding into new markets now, and the quality is getting a lot better. And I'm a big Portland Timbers fan. I grew up watching the Portland Timbers. My dad used to take me to games. So they got a game today, too, so I'm pretty excited. But
the Portland Timbers put on a show. I mean, they got the lumberjack or the chainsaw every time they score a goal.
Oh, yeah.
And the guy, like, cuts down, literally, they cut down a tree every time they score a goal.
Yeah, they cut off a section of...
Deforesting Oregon.
Well, they score so many goals.
Yeah. No, that just for the listeners, they cut a slice off a log. But
yeah, and then,
it's still cool. But.
It is pretty cool. It's a pretty cool atmosphere at that stadium. It's you know, a testament to the fans and the interest in the sport and in the U.S.
So. However, we have a bone to pick with the Portland Timbers. Mostly me, maybe a little bit of Derek, but a lot of our late great co-host Ron Sears, who was from Portland, they kicked the baseball team out of town to make that a soccer stadium.
That's true. Yes,
we are
Civic
not happy
Stadium
about that.
Is no longer Civic Stadium. I did used to watch the Beavers play in Portland, but
okay. So we'll move on past that. What about you, Coach? Who do you like out
I'm
there?
I'm definitely a national team supporter. So the Women's World Cup is coming up this summer in Canada.
It is.
So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, scoot in closer. That's okay. Big controversy with the Women's World Cup and the surfaces they're playing on.
Yeah.
In Brazil, they made sure that all the surfaces had real grass on it. Mm-hmm. And in Canada, and I don't know if it's just because it's in Canada, a lot of AstroTurf. And, you know, nobody likes running on AstroTurf day after day, hour after hour.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know where that stands right now?
I know that the case was kind of dropped or encouraged to be dropped by the players. So it's kind of a non-issue, and they're going to play regardless, from what I understand.
Oh, really? Because early on, I was hearing players going, well, we're not even going to show up.
Yeah, I mean, it was just an equality sort of argument, for sure, just to be equal with the men's World Cup standards as well.
Right.
So.
Yeah, no, I hate AstroTurf.
Yeah.
I mean, the stuff we have here is awesome.
Yeah, field turf.
Field
a little
turf.
Different than AstroTurf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, real grass is
it's
preferable.
It changes the game for sure.
Oh.
I mean, it's a much faster game playing on turf than it is actual grass.
Mm-hmm. And so that changes strategy and tactics, I imagine.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
But without this artificial turf field, the soccer program probably wouldn't even be going, right? I mean, that's really what kick-started it, was getting this turf field.
Yeah, really, we didn't have a place to play. And when the turf came in a couple years ago, you know, there was some interest, and we were able to get out there, find some time, and then it's just grown since then.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine, because, I mean, that thing... If it was still grass, it'd be a mud hole right now, wouldn't it?
Oh, yes, so I'm grateful it's not gravel or mud that we're playing
in. I'm also amazed that the amount of turnout you guys have for the soccer program. 24 for the boys. What was it for the ladies?
23.
23. Both larger amounts than the high school baseball team.
Wow.
Which I'm impressed with that you were able to get that many. Did they just all want to come out and play, or did you have to do some encouraging, or was it just straight from the start?
You know, it's just been growing every year. I haven't really done any recruiting of kids. We just go out and have fun, and I think it's a testament to the sport. It's a fun sport to play. There's a place on the field for everybody, and it attracts a wide range of athletes. So,
do you guys have varsity and junior varsity and C team as well?
Well, right now we're just running one team each, and we'll see where it goes. If at some point we have more, than 23 or 24, then I could see it building. Having a feeder program and a JV program, but right now we're just running one team each.
Mm-hmm. Is there still a club program for kids in the summer or anything like that for youngsters to play?
Yeah, the City League starts up next week, I believe.
Oh.
And runs into the end of May, till May 21st, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the tactics, for the longest time, like I say, I'm growing in my soccer appreciation over the years here. But early on, it just seemed like people running around up and down, losing the ball, somebody else stealing it from them. It's back and forth. But I've started to see, some set plays. And how much of what we're seeing on the field is actually on purpose?
Well, we like to think that it's all on purpose, that they don't make any purposeless runs, but that's part of the training, and it's part of what is attractive to a lot of students and athletes is, we work on different movements. We work on team movements, not getting too stretched out as a team. We work on making different runs to check back towards the ball and forward runs to run in behind the defense. But there's also a lot left up to individual creativity of the player. And, you can't always teach that. You can teach the fundamentals. You can teach a system. But it's pretty exciting to see the creativity of what to do with the ball, which way to turn, where to see somebody. So that's exciting.
Yeah, I was telling Derek the other day, too, there's a lot of independence for players on the field. Coaches aren't involved in every single motion that happens on the field at all. So we let them go for 45 minutes, and halftime we can kind of regroup and give your best effort for the next 45 and kind of see what happens.
But. Mm-hmm. What do you guys think about this independence that you have on the field? I mean, it's because it's the complete opposite of football. Football, they stop every 15 seconds and tell you what to do.
You just got to kind of keep your head up and look around, see what the other players are doing, what kind of runs they're making. And like Coach said, there's no timeout, so you kind of just have to go with the flow.
Mm-hmm. What are you looking for, though, when what are you looking for when you have the ball, and what are you looking for when you don't have the ball on offense, let's say?
Oh, I'm looking for a place to run so I can make a run where there's no defense, or if there's a gap for my teammate to go and I can get a through ball to there, or, for my teammates to check back and we can do a wall pass, just things like that.
Mm-hmm. I'm a defensive player, and so I'm mostly looking for, like, people who aren't marked, who are just like offenders, and just making sure people are like marked up on people, and just mm-hmm. making sure people are on the ball.
Yeah. What about you? What do you like out on the field?
Well, I'm a midfielder, so I'm like the offensive supporter, and as well for defense, so I'm constantly running back and forth. helping out just whenever they need a back pass or whenever they need someone up front helping out.
Mm-hmm. You know, in football at all levels, in American football, I guess I should say, at all levels there's become a lot of concern about concussions. You know, in fact, there was a highly prized rookie. He just retired from football. He said, I'm not playing anymore. It's not worth it. Are there rules in high school soccer about headers, you know, hitting it with your head? Because, you know, I heard that that is also a pretty big impact on the brain.
Certainly there have been some documented, you know, professional soccer players that have had some head injuries from repeated heading of the ball. I don't know of any documented head injuries from just the normal heading of the ball in a high school athlete. I think it's the repetition and the number of times and the velocity of the ball. So, you know, certainly no sport is free of worry of concussion. But, you know, in soccer, you're not trying to hit somebody else with your head. You're hitting the ball. I don't know, you know, you may head the ball, I don't know, 10 times in a game or more, you know, but it's not as big of a concern. I mean, the biggest concern for concussion in soccer would be falling and hitting your head on the ground, or the keeper hitting his head against the post, or colliding with heads, you know, with two people going for the ball. And that certainly does happen occasionally, but it's not at the level of concern that you see for American football.
Okay, so there's no high school rule against things like that.
No. Okay. I mean, because
there's less concern for it.
Right, okay. Right. And you know, we follow the concussion protocols that you know all high school sports follow as well. But
what are there special? How does the game differ on the high school level than what we see on TV when we're watching the pros? Does it differ at all in any way? I mean, we already heard it goes the same length, but are there differences?
Well, certainly, you know, certainly the athleticism and the speed.
Well, I meant more
tactically.
Rule-wise, yeah.
At the professional level, they have three substitutions in a game. We have open substitutions, so we can rotate players in as many as we want in the course of a game. So
can you come out and go back in?
Yep, mm-hmm. As many times as you want.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And you can't do that in pros, right?
No, the pros, you only have three, and once you're out, you're out, and then
college
that's it.
Rules are the same, too, college. Or limit substitutions,
yeah.
Too.
Oh, okay. Huh. Wow.
So what's the teams looking like? Start with the boys. Kind of what do we expect to see when we go out there to watch?
Well, we have some exciting players that can handle the ball and that can put the ball in the back of the net, and that's what everybody likes to see. But we have been really focused on our defense this year as a team, the full 11 playing defense, and we have a fantastic goalkeeper coach and defensive coach in Tony Lumpkin, and we've been really, really focused on keeping that defense tight, not giving up any space in the back third, and then you know, we're looking to maybe break. You know, we don't really know what our system's going to look like this year. We haven't had a full length match yet, but I'm thinking, you know, we're gonna absorb pressure, play tight at the back, and then we have some speed and some good ball handlers up front, and try to counter. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how it goes.
In terms of expectations, since this is a first year varsity program, what is the expectation going into the season?
My expectation is that every player that's out there gets better, has a better understanding of the game, has better skills, better technical skills, better tactical understanding of the game, and you know, a lifelong enjoyment of it. So, you know, what the scoreboard looks like, you know, I have no idea. I don't really know much about the teams that we're playing and the quality or the level of play in our conference, but I do know that, you know, these guys are going to give 110% when they're out there, and they're going to get better and have more fun.
How hard do the boys kick the ball? And can it get up over, and in pros, they kick it well over 100 miles per hour, right?
Boy, you know, I'm not sure, but you wouldn't want to get your face in front of one.
Yeah, well, I was you know, I was watching your practice earlier this week. Daniel, what's his last name?
Beltran.
He was booting the ball pretty hard.
Yeah, you could talk to our keepers about that. I think one of them took one to the face the other day, but he stopped it.
Oh man, what's the girls' team look like?
Well, like Eric was saying, we're a young team for sure, and we're building up. So there's still a lot of fundamental work that we're doing in our practices for sure. But certainly I expect the girls to be learning their positions and transitioning the ball well from defense to offense. And it's kind of a holistic approach, but I still want to put points on the board too when we can. You know, it was pretty exciting last year in our first game against Seward. It took 30 seconds, not even, for us to score. So I'm excited that we have that kind of capability, or I know it exists on the team, historically anyway. So I'm looking forward to take that momentum and move forward through the season.
That's awesome.
And do you have any expectations? I mean, you guys are playing to get into the regional tournament, because not every team qualifies, right, for the regional tournament. I think there's, what, 10 teams in the league, 11 teams? And the top eight qualify for regions and then state. You guys looking at that, or just kind of focused on playing each match as it comes?
One game at a time for me. I'm not sure what the kids have to say about
Agreed.
That.
We'll take it one game at a time. No. See where that goes.
So Kodiak is blessed with having a big international population here. Is that an advantage for us?
Yeah.
We have families from all over the world here. And soccer is like American football everywhere but America. Does that work in our favor for the Bears here?
I think it is, because we got kids that come from other countries and they've been playing their whole lives, and then they come here and, you know, they're better than some other players, and they teach the other players, and then the team just gets better from there.
Yeah,
like Jose was saying, it's great for us because we get their learning experience, and then we teach them what we know, and they teach us what we know or what they know. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's good.
So you've guys been playing soccer for a long time then, or is this you just jumped in when the team formed?
I played for 4 years when I was younger, like elementary school, and then I stopped for a while, and then I played last year, and that was my first time for a while. Hey, it's nice to be back.
Yeah. Oh, when I was born in El Salvador, and over there, every time we have free time, we just play soccer every day. So that's how I started playing when I was very little.
And your brothers are probably pretty jealous that you're playing on a high school soccer team and they didn't get a play, right?
Yeah, both my brothers, Elmer and Ishmael, they both tried making a team, but it didn't work out.
Oh, man.
So we'll be playing against them tonight.
I've never been a fan of soccer. Until last year, my brother kind of was pushing me to do it and stuff. So, but I was that kind of soccer hater, because my family, everyone's just like, "Oh, soccer," and I'm like, "I don't see the big deal about it." Then I started playing and I liked it. So, here I am now.
Yeah, soccer and hockey have kind of a lot in common. You know, a lot of these sports do. You know, a ball's got to go into a goal. Hockey and soccer, like I said before, a lot of things don't appear to happen on purpose. But I have a common question that I ask the hockey players all the time, but I will ask it to soccer because it's the same thing. I think the offsides rule is goofy. I mean, why is it there? I mean, why? I mean, it's like it's reducing the scoring by 20 points a game.
Well, you don't want any cherry picking,
yeah.
So
you gotta. Oh, come on, yes, you do. Yes, you do. You want to put a really good guy down on the end and then just like kick it all the way down, and he gets like boom, and he kicks it in.
I agree with Jay.
Yeah.
Well, you see it in basketball all the time.
Yeah. So give us your rebuttal.
Well, you know. And I know a lot of, you know, Kodiak, a lot of people in Kodiak are just sort of warming up to soccer, and they're learning the sport and learning to enjoy it. And you know, it's hard to enjoy the game when you don't understand it. And so that's a good question. And, you know, the game would lose a lot of its tactics, a lot of its creativity. It would take away a lot of the players' basically abilities if you just allowed a striker to park himself in front of the goalkeeper. It's they call it the beautiful game for a reason, and it might be kind of ugly if it was that way.
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. I think a lot of the beauty of the game comes, you know, in front of the goal when they're setting up an attack, you know, when they're set instead of on a fast break, you know, and a lot of the great ball handling you see is, you know, right there at that part. I think that's where the beauty of the game comes in.
Well, really. For me, you know, it's the team moving together. It's everybody, you know, in tune with each other and communicating either verbally or with their body language or their runs. And seeing a team that's clicking is like poetry in motion. It's something to see, you know.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of soccer on TV since the World Cup in... South. What was the one before South Africa?
I don't.
Wherever that was,
I've have been to ask watching these guys.
We don't have much time left. Where was it?
I'm not sure.
Oh, we don't have much time left. But quick question for the players: can you guys bend it like Beckham?
No.
I can't bend it like Beckham, but
but you can bend it
a little bit.
Yeah,
still working on it.
Yeah.
I have no idea what that means. If it means doing like the backhand, then I can probably do that. If that's what you mean by bending.
Well, I don't know what the backhand is.
What is that?
Curve the ball.
No, I can't do that. No.
Oh, okay. The corner kick is my favorite part of the game. I just love watching that, and it's just. I don't know, just maybe because it's chaos, but it's beautiful chaos, and sometimes it's awesome chaos. You know, I saw. I wish I remember who I was watching last week. It was Manchester United against somebody, and there was this great corner kick. Came out, this guy headed it. It bounced off the goalpost and out pretty far, and then another guy kicked it in under everybody else's feet. It was like, okay, it's gone. You know, everybody else was like, okay, it's a boom, it's in, goal.
Well, we've been working on corners and set pieces, and you can ask Gunnar, who's kind of marshalling the back four, how crazy it can get back there.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's a little disorganized, but we're getting there.
Man. Well, it sounds like you guys have a lot of fun out there, and that, that this could be a great experience for the kids and for the fans as well, I think.
I think the majority of our players don't play another sport. And you mentioned we have, you know, a multicultural community. And I think we're really, Derek, you talked about the numbers that we have growing. And I think it's a real testament to we're filling a desire and a need that's building in this community, and it makes me feel good, you know, to be able to step in and help that process. So,
yeah. Any last words, Coach?
No. Come out and watch us next weekend.
Girls play.
Yeah, the boys actually play tonight. They're going to play a community team at 7 o'clock.
Oh,
so
okay.
Sort of like a blue and gold, but what the other teams do is blue and gold. We'll play a community
awesome.
Game.
Well, we're out of time. Thanks for coming, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.